Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
So, Jared and Shane here with the beginning of our new Summer Scope movie Summer Scope review session. We did it last year, and we are back.
We were fortunate enough to kick it off early.
Yep, so we have started off this mid-May.
Oh, wait, before we get any further, I wanted to remind everyone we're brought to you by Coke Zero.
Oh, yes.
Just want to point that out.
Coke Zero and Subway. Don't forget Subway.
Subway.
Coke Zero and Subway bring you the movie review of the big summer blockbuster, Battleship.
Battleship.
Yes. So, Battleship based on the board game by Hasbro. Very, very faithful adaptation of the board game, by the way.
You probably couldn't get much closer.
Yes. So, the movie stars Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch.
And
Alexander Skarsgård.
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Great appearance by Liam Neeson, the badass Liam Neeson.
Who probably worked a day and a half
and
his part's done.
Did a great job, kind of, sort of, hiding his accent, but not really. His American accent's not very good.
Except when he said anything.
Yeah, anything, anything.
Anything. And he said it twice.
So the movie is really about a punky kid named, I don't even know what his first name is. I know his last name is Hopper.
Alex Hopper.
Alex, boy, you really pay attention.
Let's call him Riggins.
Alex Hopper. Riggins is fresh out of, dropping out of junior college in Texas.
And might as well have been. Yeah. I mean, we're not really sure. He's obviously someone who has potential, but has yet to live up to it, and apparently has no direction.
Met his long-lost brother that was not there to witness any of his great football moments.
Nope.
What was the name of the town in Friday Night Lights?
Dillon.
Yes. Dillon. So he transfers from Dillon, and now he is in Hawaii.
He's in Hawaii.
Hanging out with his brother, who happens to be a big-time naval ship captain.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's very strange. So, at any rate, brother's a slacker, a loser.
Yep.
He eventually makes one too many mistakes, and his brother decides to change the story and get him into the Navy.
Yep.
Cut 2 years later.
Was it 2 years?
I think it was, well,
I don't know, but he made it to lieutenant very quickly.
He was such a screw-up that he was a lieutenant in no time.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And
They force rank on you as a way to improve you.
Exactly.
That's how the Navy works.
A couple side notes. Hopper, the screw-up Hopper.
Yes.
In love with the Naval Fleet Commander's daughter, who is played by a very hot who?
Brooklyn Decker.
Decker. You are very good with names.
I read the credits at the end.
And
just minutes ago.
Yep.
That's how quickly we're getting this review.
He falls in love with her, and he wants to propose to her.
Yes.
So that's a big part of the story.
But he has to get Daddy's permission.
Yep.
And, you know, Daddy's the big admiral.
Daddy doesn't like him because he's a screw-up.
Yep.
So a little bit later, they go out for naval exercises.
Mm-hmm. These are not your Mormon calisthenics, though, Shane.
Teaming up with the Japanese.
I think it was a multinational force, but we really only see the Japanese.
Yeah, those are the only ones that really count.
Yes.
But guess what? Aliens are coming to Earth.
Yep.
And they are here to kick some ass. And
there's
a whole other sort of subplot that goes along with the scientists that are tracking this and
Supposedly they've found what they call a Goldilocks planet, which is a planet that is in the right spot in relation to its sun. So that it could support life.
I like to call it the Adjust-A-Right planet.
Adjust-A-Right
planet. Not too hard, not too soft, it's just right.
Right, exactly.
So,
like a grilled stuffed burrito from Taco John's.
So the aliens are here, and what they're doing is, I don't know,
we think they're, I mean, people in the movie think that they're, you know, here to, well, I mean, the phrase extinction level event is used. Which, you know, that's bad news. Yeah.
They weren't here bringing gifts of Toblerone bars and flowers.
No.
They were here to kick some ass.
But at the same time, some of their actions are a little ambiguous, and we're not quite sure if they, you know, are testing us, or if, you know, they think we're a threat or not.
Long story short, the aliens create some sort of super dome that covers Hawaii. And
three of the fleet in the human fleet.
Yes. Yeah. And guess who's in that those three ships?
Riggins, of course.
Riggins and his brother, his long lost brother, and Rihanna is there, and Landry.
Landry's there
from Friday Night Lights.
Turtle's there.
Turtle is there. He makes a quick appearance. And essentially, what Hopper and his crew have to do is destroy the aliens because they're the only ones that can do
it. They have to sink that alien battleship.
They do. They have to sink the alien battleship. On the outside of the bubble, you've got the government sort of doing their thing. You've got some scientists.
There's some scenes in situation rooms and whatnot.
Brooklyn Decker is a physical therapist.
Yes.
Who also gets into the action. I don't know how
she
much...
she takes Mick, who is a paraplegic soldier who's lost...
badass.
Lost his both of his legs out to walk on the mountain. She's his new physical therapist. And obviously they're going to play a part in the story somehow. Yes.
They've got their job to do on the outside of the bubble, while the boys on the inside have to do their thing as well.
Yep. It's a well-rounded story.
And a lot of action, a lot of chaos ensues, and... I'm not going to spoil it if Earth comes out on the winning end or not, but okay, it does.
I mean, I think that was a foregone conclusion.
So, so that's the movie. There's a lot, once we sort of get into the bubble, there's a lot of action that doesn't necessarily make sense, a lot of plot that doesn't necessarily make sense.
Right.
So, yeah.
A lot of set pieces.
A lot of set pieces. A lot of excitement. Let me take a little sip here of my non-Coke Zero. Sorry.
Oh, hey. You don't have to mention it.
It is a Coca-Cola product.
Okay.
So,
good enough.
So we've summarized the movie.
As best we can without spoiling.
Yes. But I think it's time for us to dig into our first real review of our instant summer review series.
And we're reviewing what?
Battleships.
Battleship, right.
Coke Zero's Battleship.
Presented in conjunction with Hasbro.
As I like to call it, Bartleship.
Bartleship, indeed.
So, Jared, yes. I know we walked out. We made sure not to talk to each other about this film.
Right.
But I feel like we were both a little conflicted.
You did bring that up on the walk over here.
And so when I walked into this film, the only thing I could think of was brought to you by the people that brought us Transformers.
Yes.
I don't know if they're just saying that's Hasbro or if there's some crossover producers. But there definitely is the Transformers feel to some of the designs, but it's not quite as crazy as some of those. So
it's not, but at the same time, you've kind of got that level of destruction porn going on a little bit.
That's a big thing in here.
Yeah.
So we've got that going on, and that really tainted me. But on the other end, I am one of the world's biggest Friday Night Lights fans.
Right.
I love Taylor. I love the director, and I think he was co-writer and producer, Peter Berg, who also does Parenthood, or he's been involved in Parenthood.
He's done some good stuff.
So he's got a pretty good pedigree. He did the original Friday Night Lights. The guy knows how to do movies, or not movies. He knows how to do character-driven stories.
Right.
Which
this was not.
This was not. But at the same time, it had a bit of charm to it that I couldn't help liking a little bit. At the same time, I was rolling my eyes. But I like the characters in this. If you're starting to draw comparisons to Transformers,
sure.
I mean, Taylor was very stereotypical in every sense of the word. You know, he was the flawed guy that, of course, is going to make good on his transformation into a better man.
Yes, when he's put in that situation where he has a choice to either excel or die, he chooses to excel.
But I liked him. I couldn't help
it. He's all right.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I can't say that I truly disliked anyone, but at the same time, you're not getting a lot of depth.
This is a big, dumb summer movie.
It is. It really is.
With every sense of the word.
Which isn't necessarily bad.
No.
I'm like you. I'm conflicted in that, number one, I was going into this expecting to really, really hate it. And for those of you in the audience who really hate it when we take that approach to a movie, I'm sorry.
But at
the end of the day, I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
I would say I did not hate it. I do have some issues with it, though.
Go ahead.
Early in the film, as I said, they found the Goldilocks planet, and the scientific plan is to, every day, every 24 hours, they're going to send out a signal in its direction, right? Well, there's a flaw in their science, in that any such planet is going to be many light years away, and if anyone is aware of the speed of light... a light year is how a distance light can travel in a year. So, radio transmissions being part of the electromagnetic spectrum, I'm getting really nerdy here, sorry.
Okay, nerd.
Are not going to go any faster than that, so...
It would
take years for that signal to get there and for any response to come back.
I think at the beginning they did say that technology
could send out signals 5 times faster than they've ever sent them out before.
Did they say that?
I think they did say that.
Well, that's completely false.
Wow, now Jared's
getting angry. It's impossible, but anyway.
It's special laser light.
I realize that this isn't a scientifically accurate film, but at the same time, that whole bit, it took me out of it for probably half an hour. I kept, mulling that over in my head going, that was just lazy. They could have thought of a better way to frame it. Like, maybe they sent the signal out years ago and they finally got a response. I mean, there's just there's a bunch of ways you could have approached it that would have been more scientifically sound, and it just seemed like an unnecessary choice.
Mm.
But maybe most people won't have a problem with
sure.
it. So, there you go.
My biggest issue with the movie in terms of the plotting is mm-hmm. the fact that everything that they bring up early on in the movie...
Yep.
Foreshadows with a mallet to the head in terms of what's going to happen. Even when you think it wouldn't, but anything that they show that they spend any time with,
mm-hmm.
eventually it's going to come back into the movie.
There is,
you know, the old sailors. Right. You've got, you know, the guy who doesn't have legs. There's a lot of things here. There's a guy with a motorcycle. Yeah. Just a lot of things that were so over the top. I'm surprised they didn't have some sort of soccer event at the end, just kill the aliens, because earlier in the movie there was a big soccer game a la Top Gun.
I'm surprised that Hopper didn't have to kick a goal to win the game, but maybe he did with his guns.
Or maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe we find out
that's the soccer metaphor.
Maybe we find out the aliens' secret weaknesses: chicken burritos, for instance. I mean, which plays into the movie a little bit.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's like kind of every little piece of information or situation kind of serves a purpose. Almost to the point where it's too much.
Yeah, but at the same time, they leave the aliens...
Remember, we said we were conflicted.
Yeah, they leave the aliens kind of in this ambiguous, what are they doing, what are they about?
Yeah.
And I sort of enjoyed, I'm not saying I like the results, the ending results, but I enjoyed how they unspooled the information to you.
You got a little bit more. Yeah. I still think there's some stuff that wasn't ever clear, but, maybe that's okay, because we probably wouldn't have figured it out anyway. We don't need to know necessarily, but... Yeah, I think my biggest complaint about the film is that the dialogue felt really kind of cliched.
It was completely cliched.
I mean, I felt like this had
I mean, they even call it out in the movie for Christ's sake. I mean, they're aware of what they're doing.
There's no pep to it. There's no spark. And I think that as kind of a mindless, action summer popcorn film, it's successful. And I think if they had spent the time on writing some really nice, smart, funny dialogue to go with it, I mean, this thing could have been so, so much better.
I think the key actors did really well with what they had.
Yeah.
And here, maybe this is part of the reason why I'm conflicted about this. I feel like a guy like Michael Bay makes movies like that, and they write that script that way, and he buys into it. I mean, He's 100% in.
Yeah.
I can't believe...
He's ribbing you in the, elbow in your ribs like,
this is the good stuff. I cannot believe that Peter Berg, as a talented guy who's done a lot of good stuff, buys into that dialogue and believes that that's good.
Yeah.
I believe that he's playing a part in creating a cliched movie, a movie style. And sometimes I almost feel like there's a wink and a nod.
Like it was intentional that way?
We're doing it this way, but, we're better than that. I mean, that's just sort of how I felt about it. I just think the acting was was better than that, I mean, they didn't have quite the, the wacky characters that you'd see in Transformers doing weird stuff. It didn't feel like it was all the way over the top in that regard, and I liked it for that.
I wasn't disgusted by it, but I was just a little bothered. I felt like maybe... it could have been a little bit more clever.
I feel it got worse in the end.
Yeah.
As it went on and they're piling on the action movie cliches and all the foreshadowed stuff are kind of hitting you at every point. That bothered me.
Yeah.
In terms of the action itself, I felt like it was slightly more realistic, as much as I can say, that compared to some of these other big action movies we've seen in the past few years.
As realistic as could a naval battle with alien spaceships.
Exactly.
And you got to give it some slack.
Yeah.
I think that the device, or the way they figured out how to integrate the classic battleship gameplay into the movie, I thought was pretty clever.
Yeah, honestly. It was clever. I don't know if it was perfectly executed. It was still a little confused, but I saw what they were trying to do with it.
I think it made enough sense. I mean, they probably wouldn't be, you know, have the complete graphics package whipped up in 5 minutes to make it all work, but...
Yeah.
You know, these are the things you overlooked in the course of a movie like this. You just kind of roll with it, but... Yeah, so I think it worked.
So I think back to our summer review series of last year, mm-hmm. 2011, and I think of movies like Green Lantern.
Yep.
I think of Transformers 3. I think 30 Minutes or Less. We saw that for free.
Yep.
And Captain America. I think those were our four movies we saw. I don't think mm-hmm. we saw anything else free. I would probably put
Super
this.
Super 8? Was that one we saw?
Yes, we saw Super 8.
We just 8. Didn't review it.
Yeah, we saw Super 8.
We didn't realize that we could probably review these things for the show.
Yes.
At the time.
But of those four.
Even though we talked about it for 20 minutes.
Of those first four movies. That I named, yeah. I feel like this movie probably would slot in about number two. I mean, I liked it as much as any of them, except Captain America, which I think was better.
That's fair, I think.
So
the question is, would you, if you had paid money for this, would you feel bad about having done so?
10 years ago, when you and I used to see a movie a week or two movies a week, I probably wouldn't feel as bad.
No.
Now with my limited time, yeah, I'd be a little bummed, but I wouldn't be as disgusted as if it were a Green Lantern or especially a Transformers.
Right. I don't think it was overly long. I didn't really look at the
clock. No, I mean, I think it paced itself.
It was a little slow to get going, I thought.
But I kind of liked the beginning. The beginning was sort of, they sort of established the character in a cliched way, but it still was interesting to me. I don't know. And I like Liam Neeson, even with his goofy-ass accent. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is, if you go in with the right attitude that this is a summer action film, that isn't going to necessarily insult you. You might
but
have fun.
It's not going to change the game.
No.
Not going to change the game. So let's give this sucker a score and wrap it up.
The Scope score is 2.25 stars.
So there you go. That is Battleship, sponsored by Coke Zero.
I just have to say that, you know, I put this on my list of three movies that I thought looked terrible. And I was pleasantly surprised. Not blown away, but definitely would not keep it on the list anymore.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But I would say that if it's on the list, it's a bubble. It's a bubble movie.
It's a bubble movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
Way better than I thought it was going to be. And there you go. All so right. There you go. That's our first movie in our Scope 2012 Instant Summer Movie Review. I just keep giving it different names every time.
Call it the Summer Sneak Peek Review.
The Summer Sneak Peek Review. I like it. And hopefully we'll be back with more of these as the summer continues. So thanks for listening, and tune in for a new Scope soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.